All right, Kevin Barker. So we got two doors we can go through tonight. Door number one, Yuriel Rodriguez, not very good. Door number two, the three outs in the base pass, two at home, one at second. And the Blue Jays did have a lot going on early in the game, but couldn't cash in till much later in the game. 6-3, the Blue Jays have lost to the Boston Red Sox. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Kevin, what's got your attention first out of those two?
Yeah, I would think the Rodriguez thing, right? I think that's a little bit more important. The base running, look, we saw the defense last night from the Red Sox, not very good. The Loperfido getting thrown out at home, that's two outs. You're going on contact. I mean, that's a good base runner. He's pretty fast. You got to send him right there. The Ernie getting thrown out at home, I mean, that's a shallow fly ball. I'm not real sure I would have sent Ernie there just where they were at in the order. The Vladdy getting thrown out at second was atrocious base running. So one out of the three, I guess. It's rare that you see that. So, you know, tonight we'll overlook that. The Yuriel Rodriguez looks to me like he's tuckered out, Jeff. Like, you know, it's just sort of the last three starts. I think it's just everything he's trying to do mentally and physically. You know what it takes to be a starting pitcher at the big league level, right? It's just I've mentioned this, you know, what's he throw, two strikes? I don't think he knows. Like the, you know, you saw tonight the velocity was down, the inconsistent spin on the slider and the curveball. He had one whiff on the split finger. There's tons of hard contact. Like it's just, you know, the pitching around the left-handed hitter with a base open, that's what he should have done. You know, you fall behind an account. Like everything you have to think your way through as a big league pitcher make you tuckered out, right? Like it just – I don't think it's about the innings. I mean, he's only got a little over 60 innings pitched at the big league level. I just think it's everything that it takes between starts. And then when you actually get out there, you're facing these left-handed hitters. You got to control running games. You know, the bases are bigger. Like there's things now that – you have to control, and it just looks to me like this is sort of the growing pains you go through. I talk to Pete.
What do you do with
him? Yeah, keep running him out there. I think that's what's best. You know, maybe you have a little quicker trigger with him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's sort of, you know, again, the only way he's going to learn is to go through it. Like, you'd rather him go through it now than go through it next year. It's just that I think that's part of it, right? And I think he's got to figure out what his two-strike pitch is. I've been saying that. He don't got one. Like, what's he throwing, Jeff? Like, he tried, I think, a couple of times to – yeah, he tried to backdoor the slider a couple of times. I know he had three punch-outs, all three on the slider. Two of the strikeouts were with to O'Neill. All three were bad pitches. Like, it's just I think that's sort of where he's at is what is it? Who is he? How does he control all of these things? And you'd rather him learn when they're, you know, under 500 and out of it than – you know, when the season starts and they're trying to make a little decent run at this thing. So be careful with him. I'm sure they'll do that. And hopefully he gets better just being around Petey and having conversations, and they'll learn something mechanically and they'll figure out what they're going to throw with two strikes.
But you still have to keep him on his turn, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it's the sort of the process of the only way you're going to learn. What's that saying? Can't teach experience? Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's – again, this is what they're going to do if you're facing him, right? He's not very good at controlling the running game. He is very athletic. He tends to forget because he's trying. You can see him actually churning through, right? Left-handed hitter, guy on first. Guy can steal a base. You know, I'm trying to mentally think through if I locate this, what am I going to throw next? How do I set him up to strike him out? Like, you can actually see him thinking through it. And I'd rather see him think through it now then next year, and I'm sure Pete Walker and John Snyder are in the same situation and the same boat as I am.
Will Wagner, 3-for-4 with his first big league home run today. Again, we're seeing John Schneider leave his young lefty hitters in against lefties, which is good. Again, this gets to the see if they can do it and let him run with it. But it's – you know, again, there is a lot more happening with this team offensively than we've seen in the past. But, yeah, Yuriel Rodriguez, you know, it's just kind of a reminder. You know, we tend to overlook that Jose Berríos was awfully good yesterday. Like, the foundation is still starting pitching.
Yeah, I think so. But again, we talked about this on our show today. The balance of the lineup, having the lefties, mm-hmm. bats look a little bit quicker. You know, you mentioned Wagner with the two doubles and the home run. Like, you know, we've been going through it. I think the elevated velocity, the location of the secondary stuff, sometimes that's a little overwhelming. You just can't believe that they're able to execute and sort of, you know, pitch backwards and throw breaking balls for strikes and fastball counts. Like, again, you can't teach experience. You got to let these kids go through it. Horowitz having some quality at bats again. Barcher, look, when he gets the foot down, I don't know about you, but he looks like he's got one of the quicker bats on the team. Yep. Barcho with the bomb looks to me like he's closed off a little bit with his front foot, which is a big deal. Keep the front side in a little longer, adds a little bit more length. If you don't have length, you can't have hit a ball to center field like he did in his last at bat. So they're having some good bats, and Vladdy's just demolishing baseballs to the big part of the field. So, yeah,
that ball he hit.
Rockets, man. I mean, it's just
like a heat-seeking missile.
Yeah, really poor little baseballs. It's crazy, right?
It really was something else. Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. First of all, I mean, the offense, honestly, is full fun. Yeah, today, obviously, the base running was kind of what we saw from the Blue Jays in June and July. But other than that, you know, just I'm enjoying the young guys. You guys know I listen to your show religiously. I love you guys. Kevin, I love you, but I am not touching Anthony Santander with a 10-foot pole this offseason. His contract is going to age so terribly. So I know you guys, obviously, I know you talked about Pete Alonso, you know, Teoscar Hernandez. If I'm the Blue Jays, I go all in on Alex Bregman.
You know, thanks for the call. It's funny. I talked to someone about Bregman the other day. I get the Santander bat and Kylie McDaniel. We had him on, and he's talked about that on ESPN, that it's, you know, a 4 or 5 year contract that isn't going to age very well. It'll probably end up looking like George Springer. But my thought is this. I want Anthony Santander for next year, and I want him right away. I just assume, Kevin, I don't know about you. I assume when I sign a guy who's, I don't know, 28, 29 years old to a 4 or 5 year contract, that last year is probably not going to look good. And I'm okay with it. It's the cost of doing business. You hope that there's enough left of the guy that in the final year of the contract, if you have to, you can move him, pick up some salary, get another piece in return. But I think that's why so many people focus on Santander is you want a guy who can come in here and be the best middle of the order hitter you have next year. That's the way I look at it. I'll worry about 3 years down the road, 3 years down the road. And if I'm Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, I probably won't be here 3 years down the road anyhow.
Yeah.
Bregman, he's having a bit of a renaissance. We know that the Astros aren't afraid to get rid of core pieces. They did it with Springer. They've done it with other players. Looking at the third baseman on the market, Bregman, I think, is going to cost a lot of money. He's going to want a lot of years. I don't know. I don't know. I'll ask you, Kevin. Let's just plopping him in the middle of the order. Does he bring what you need in the middle of the order?
No, he's hitting .213 off the left. He's got 21 bombs. He's got 60.
Exactly.
He's got 61 RBI. He's got an OPS of less than 800. Absolutely.
And he's playing in a park where he should be. I'm with you. And I don't think Alex Bregman, frankly, is going to give anybody any type of discount. You know, he's going to.
Well, we know who his agent is, so absolutely
yes.
not.
Yes. And his agent's also got Matt Chapman. Does he have Chapman? Yeah, Boris is Chapman, right? Mm-hmm. So he'll be trying to play the market off with those two guys.
There's better options.
I think there is. Alex Bregman to me is, that can't be my big ad. I've got to add a thumper. I got to add somebody who I know is going to roll out of bed and give me 35. That's why a dude like Alonso is the type of guy I'm thinking of. You know, people keep mentioning Teoscar. I just don't, man, I can't see these guys going. I can't see this front office going back to Teoscar, because you're basically admitting then you made a mistake. You're basically admitting you made a mistake.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think you got to take one of the big three. That's Teoscar, Santander, or Pete Alonso. You got to get one of the three, and then you might go out and get a lesser one to hit fifth or sixth in your order, so you can sprinkle in some of whoever you want to sprinkle in with the young guys to play whatever position you want to play them in. We've said this on our show numerous times. I don't care what position they play. Get them in here. Like, you want to fill in your lineup first, and then you worry about where they play later. And Santander switch hitting, who can hit lefties, hit home runs from both sides of the plate. I don't care how he ages. Like, how's the Springer thing going to look a year from now? You know,
the Springer thing hasn't looked good for – that's what I said.
Yeah.
The Springer thing hasn't looked good for
– Yeah. All these contracts are not going to look any good. It's what are they going to do for you next year? I mean, that's sort of – if it doesn't work out the way what they want it to next year anyway, by All-Star break, the team's going to look different anyway. So,
yeah. 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590, 6-3. The Blue Jays losing to the Boston Red Sox tonight at Fenway Park. And the fourth game of this series, or the third game of this series, technically, I guess, goes tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Chris Bassitt against Brian Bayo from Fenway Park. Russ in Oshawa, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey,
I had the I was thinking that it might do Mr. Rodriguez a little more good going down and pitching in the minors till the end of the year, so that they can get him lengthened out where he's not doing losing his command. And some of that command, when I was listening, watching the game, that base hit he gave up, that part of that was on the catcher. He called the wrong pitch. So.
Well, they do have pitch comm, so the pitcher can very easily shake it off.
Yeah, I know, but since he's new, he probably wouldn't, because Alejandro has been in the big leagues for 2-3 years. So, you know, and he's not. So you have to kind of do it, you know, you got to kind of tell, you know, get them both on the same page, take them to one side and say, look, you know, that's not a good situation.
Yeah. Russ, I appreciate the call. I mean, I don't think lengthening out Yariel Rodriguez is the thing. He's got to learn how to pitch in the majors. Now, you know, Russ, there is one thing, and I keep mentioning it. Because of the nature of his contract, you can't option him next year. So this is the last time you will be able to option Yariel Rodriguez. But I mean, I don't know what that would serve. If they were, I'll tell you this. I mean, if they were contending for something right now, well, then I think you have to have that discussion. But from this point in time, I think it's more important Yariel Rodriguez get out there and, you know, unless he's in danger of hurting himself, get out there and kind of figure out what it takes to, you know, to pitch in the major leagues.
Look, I don't think there's a lot of big league hitters at the minor league level that he can go down there and have to compete against and learn the things that he would learn at this level. They have the best in the world at the big league level. That's the only place he's going to learn is. Like, he needs to find the routine or the sweet spot that's good for him, that will have him consistently looking the same. You know, we use that word predictable a lot, right? He's not predictable yet. That's sort of what he's trying.
Not in a good way.
To figure out, and him going to the minor leagues, how will he find out how to be predictable? Like, you got to find out what stuff works against big league hitters. There's no big league hitters in the minor leagues. So,
and see, the thing is, people also have to remember that, you know, we're not talking about a 21, 22-year-old kid.
27.
So the idea that his psyche is going to be damaged by losing all these games, I don't think that's a factor at all. So, I mean, I'm with you, Kevin. I think you got to see what you have. You got to see what you have with this guy, and you've got to see what Bowden Francis is, and you've got to see what Jake Bloss is. And the concern I have, and I understand Buck talked about this today. I understand he's learning a routine. I understand this is a guy who hasn't pitched a lot lately. But doesn't the decrease in velocity alarm you a little bit, Kevin? I'm not going to say a guy would still be fresh, but I would think that would be the least of Yariel Rodriguez's issues right now would be velocity. I can see command. I can see stuff like that, but I mean, the velocity shouldn't be down that much.
Yeah, right? I think if it was 2 or 3 miles an hour, you'd be worried. So, you know, it was less than a mile per hour today. So it was just, you know, he couldn't rear back, and you see 96, 97 today. You didn't see those. I think he's topping out somewhere around 95. So, yeah, I think, it looks to me like he's more tuckered out when it comes to the mental side, just trying to grind through and figure out why it was working where he was at before and it's not working here. How will you know unless you throw it to a left-handed hitter whether your curveball is going to work or your elevated natural cutter that you have or, you know, your backdoor two-seamer that you would throw? Like, the only way you're going to learn is to throw it here. And again, they're going to need him next year. Like, it's not like they're oozing out of the cracks of the organization with, you know, a bunch of quality arms that can come up here and give them some quality starts. So, yeah, I mean, Pete Walker's pretty good at making some quick changes, and he'll give him some things to work on, and hopefully there's a progression, and he'll start to figure out who he is, and maybe he'll eliminate a pitch or two, use more than one, you know, just be more in attack mode, and you will see
what
the more
consistent. What pitch should he eliminate, Kevin? As a former hitter, and now you've seen a lot of this guy's starts, what would you tell him?
Well, I mean, sometimes it looks to me like he tries to pitch backwards. I think it starts with fastball command, right? It'll always start with that. You know, why is Bowden Francis better? He's commanding the fastball more, right? That's why he's able to throw more split fingers. I think it's that, right? And if he sort of builds off of that instead of going, okay, you know, first time through, I got him out with the fastball. No way the second time through I can do the same thing. Well, why not? Yep. You know, I think that's sort of why you see the pitch count go way up and the innings that he's not pitching, you know, is quite frankly not there. So, yeah, this is a trial and error thing. You got to throw it to somebody to see how they react to it. You know, it's just like that left-handed hitter, a 3-1 count. He shouldn't need the catcher to go right-handed hitter on deck, base open, second and third. Dude's hot at the plate. Left. It's a no-brainer. Like, you know, you get the catcher to set up 6 feet off the plate. You throw him a ball. You get the dude to pop out to the shortstop, leave the bases loaded. Like, that's sort of what a 27-year-old's supposed to look like. And I get back to that tuckered out mental grind of the game at the big league level is sometimes, at least that's what I went through, it's quicker. Everything up there happens in a hurry, and you have to figure out how to slow it down. And it just seems like right now him individually on the mound is having a tough time doing that. And again, you can't teach experience. Only way he's going to learn is to run him out there and let him figure it out. And I think that's what he's going through right now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see him against more sort of playoff caliber teams, because guys are going to be honed in a little more. Guys are going to be a little more competitive. They're playing for something.
He might get the Phillies next time. That's going to be a tough game for him.
That's a tough game, but you know what? I'd rather see him against the Phillies than against the Angels. Like, let's see what he's got.
See if the slider's any good against Bryce Harper. See if the split finger, how he takes it. Like, it'll tell you a lot just how they take, you know, against good hitters. You know, how do you set him up? Did he swing at the cutter up and in with 2 strikes? Can I eliminate that? That's not a good pitch. How do I be more efficient? Like, sort of a trial and error kind of thing, and the only way you're going to learn is to throw it against some of the best hitters.
416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays talk. The Blue Jays, they are 65-69 after a 6-3 loss to the Boston Red Sox. We'll take a break, hear from the skipper on the other side, go back to the phone lines as well. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I think when you get down on this park, it's tough. You know, you put up a three spot, and it's tough to come back. And we had chances, you know, and I thought the guys really swung the bats well and just didn't really cash in on opportunities. But you never want to make outs on the bases, but aggressive outs are okay. And when you're putting pressure on the other team to make really good plays, you know, we're good with that. And tonight they made really good plays.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only question I would have of John Schneider is I don't mind putting pressure on guys. I'm not certain Jaron Duran's the dude that I necessarily want to put pressure on, though. And I think that the play with Vladdy was particularly silly. That's right in front of him. Again, you got to know the guy in the outfield.
Now you got to remember, Vladdy's hitting a quadrillion. Like,
so he's feeling frisky.
It ain't like John's going to come out there and go, hey, my dude that's hitting a quadrillion, stop being stupid on the bases. Like, you just ain't going to do that. So,
no.
You know, I mean, that's just life, Jeff. That's
how. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and the plays at home at the plate, I mean, I looked at the one. I mean, I guess you could not argue, you could question the one about Clement, but Lo Perfetto, I don't think there's any issue there.
Just running on contact, it took a perfect throw, right? The relay throw was decent, and the throw from the shortstop was okay,
yep.
Right? And the tag was better. So all three things had to happen in unison. It happened.
The big story of the night, Yariel Rodriguez. He is now 1-6. Again, as we've seen in the past, inefficient, unable to finish off hitters. This was John Schneider when asked about Yariel Rodriguez's outing.
He settled in, you know, fairly well after that. You know, it's a, you know, kind of a get me over heater to Duran, who's swinging it really well. I think, you know, what he can take out of it is you look at as you go down to Yoshida's at bat, it's a 3-1 count. You know, you want to be careful in that situation with the string of righties coming up and pitch to the situation a little bit. But I thought after the first, he was efficient and he made good pitches. Came down to the fifth where, you know, he was at that spot where his pitch count was okay and made a couple mistakes with breaking balls.
What are your goals for him? Finishes his first full season.
I mean, it's a fine line between keeping him stretched out and, you know, not walking him into dangerous spots, you know. So being on a routine is going to be important for him. Understanding situations of every single inning is going to be important. From a physical standpoint, we want to keep him going. And at the same time, I think just kind of learning from every outing and how he can just be a little bit finer with his execution.
So that is John Schneider, Kevin, talking about Yariel Rodriguez. And I think it's important to note as well that in addition to Yariel Rodriguez trying to figure out what the major leagues are all about, the Blue Jays are trying to figure out what they have in him. And he's a different guy than guys they normally get, right? It's a guy who's a starter in Cuba, a reliever in Japan, and hasn't pitched for a year. It's kind of not your run-of-the-mill free agent. You sort of have to see what he's all about. And I mean, we know this from talking to Pete Walker. I think with some guys, Pete's approach is to just stand back a bit and see what you have from him.
Yeah, I hope that I understood John saying that they're going to give him a really good routine, give him the ball every 5 days, and get out of his way. Is that what you heard?
I mean, I guess the question I would have is, he said we have to be careful we don't
what's
walk him into a bunch
yeah,
of
yeah,
situations.
Yeah, yeah, what's that mean?
I think maybe more than anything else, it means what you talked about. Maybe you have a quicker hook with him. You know,
yeah.
For example, if he's facing a team that's in the playoff race, like the Phillies or something like that, maybe you have a quicker hook with them. That's what I took it to mean. I didn't take it to mean that they were going to skip a start or whatever, you know. And also keep in mind that they've got all those off days coming up in September, right? So they're mm-hmm. going to have to manage the rotation anyhow. And you know they want to see Jake Bloss. I've been told they want to see him at least two times. They mm-hmm. want to see him a couple of times. So, you know, the schedule will kind of take care of it when it comes to Yariel Rodriguez. But that was my takeaway.
Yeah, he's a strong he's a strong dude, Jeff. He's very athletic. Like
he's
I hope they just give him his best routine as they can possibly give him. Let him tweak it as he goes. You know, now, if something's not working, he doesn't feel right. Give him the ball every 5 days. I mean, I think he'd have to figure it out, right? He is a part of the rotation.
I mean,
at least the start of the season, I would think.
I will say this too, though, to keep in mind, the guy has had two back issues, or he's had back issues twice. So it's entirely possible that they're aware of something. They should be aware of something that we wouldn't be aware of. But no, I that's what I took it. I took it to mean we're not pulling back on him. But I think
I hope so.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Maybe a faster hook. And you know. I mean, they've got some options now, right? They got Yarbrough. Like, they've got guys that you can, if Yariel Rodriguez is scuffling in the second inning or whatever, you can go to Yarbrough. You know, they haven't had that guy before. That's why something you talked about today, I think that dude could be really valuable for them next year.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that it doesn't cost them a ton, right? I mean, the things that they have to spend money on, it's not going to be the cheapest of things, so. Yeah, they're going to have to do some heavy lifting, but it would sure help if he can hit the ground, you know, sort of skipping instead of falling. Mm-hmm. Okay, that would help a little bit. So, yeah, and I think, you know, to get him a lead early, 0 for 6 runners in scoring position. They left 9 runners on base. Like, get a big hit, give him a little breathing room where he don't think every single pitch matters as much as it sure looked like he thought they did. So, yeah, I mean, he's playing it out. We're watching him play it out. And sometimes that just don't work out the best of ways. Hopefully they find the best routine and, you know, he can figure out what works best for him. And he gets consistent velocity and gets a little bit better spin and figures out a strike three pitch. If anything in the next whatever starts he makes, Jeff, I'd like to see a strike three pitch. What is it? I have no idea, and it sure looks like he has no idea either. And if Pete Walker knew, he'd tell him to throw it. So, the next whatever many starts he makes, that's what I'll be looking for is hopefully he finds one and can build off of that.
I wouldn't be surprised as well if you see him come into spring training next year, and they may, quote-unquote, take a pitch away from him once they figure
out. Yeah, maybe.
You know, limit his options. 6-3, the Blue Jays losing to the Boston Red Sox tonight. They'll get at it again tomorrow night at Fenway Park. Chris Bassett on the mound for the Blue Jays. 7 o'clock coverage starts on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Simcoe and Tillsonburg, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.